Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Well, there was one team in Denver definitely looking like potential NBA champions last night. Except that team was not the reigning NBA champions, who were on their own floor and desperately needed that game. Just like there was definitely a dude who looked like an MVP last night and who heard MVP chants in that arena, incredibly. Except it was not the reigning finals MVP playing on his home floor. In fact, you could even say there were two dudes playing like MVPs last night, and neither one of them were the Joker. They were both members of the, as James Kelly would call them, Wolves.
The Wolves?
The Wolves.
The Wolves?
And the Wolves have made it officially clear. They're not just here to take part. The Wolves are here to take over. They're here to rip a Larry O. And as much praise as the Ant-Man's getting, and fully deserving, he did not lead that line alone last night. Don't worry, Cat. I see you, bro. You know I see Cat, mate.
We see Cat, mate.
We do see Cat, mate.
We see Cat, mate.
I see Cat, mate. I see Ant-Man, mate. I see an ascending team that just put itself in a dominant position to dethrone the champs and head to the Western Conference Finals. And I see a team that can absolutely go all the way. This is not a drill. This is not empty hype. I don't do that crap. If I say that a team is for real, then they're for real.
For real.
And folks, the Wolves?
The Wolves?
They're for real.
For real.
No doubt about it. Denver needed to dig deep last night and come up with a huge all-around effort. And instead, they came up with a huge dump in their pants. They got obliterated. They were eviscerated. They were vaporized. They got worked. That was a curb stomping, a mug job, a hospital job. It was humiliating. It was all those things. Denver led 2-0. And then never again in that game. They started slowly again, and they finished even slower. That was a comprehensive, wire-to-wire ass-kicking. A total and utter demolition. So where does that leave the defending champs? Now they've got to win 4 of 5 against the hottest team in the association with the brightest emerging superstar in the same association. And 3 of those games are coming in Minnesota. Denver, let's face it. You know what time it is. Look at your watch. You know what time it is? It is Carl Lewis o'clock. 5:30 Carl Lewis. In other words, big time, uh-oh time, such as slow-mo, uh-oh. Let me say this. The champs are the champs. That's really slow-mo, Alvy. Way to drag that out. Let me know when you're done. The champs are the champs for a reason. That's an Alvy record right there. A Carl Lewis record. No, they're the champs for a reason. I'm not going to leave them dead in a ditch, on the side of the road. Not yet, at least. You know I've got enormous respect for my man, Michael Malone. But there's no way around it. The reason it feels like Denver is in enormous trouble is because Denver is in enormous trouble. I mean, the Nuggets only scored 80 last night. In a game at home that they absolutely had to have, and Minnesota didn't even have their best defensive player. That's how bad it is. The Wolves didn't even have Rudy Gobert.
The Wolves?
The presumptive defensive player of the year didn't even suit up. He wasn't even in the state of Colorado, and the Wolves still locked down Denver and held them to their season-low point total. Man, I cannot stress that enough how bad that is. I mean, you want to talk about a statement. You want to talk about a demoralization. You want to talk about a psychological and physical ass beating. That game was all those things. And just to add to the Carl Lewis of it all, the champs are not exactly carrying themselves like champs. The champs are not exactly exhibiting composure. And the finals MVP and the two-time NBA MVP are not exactly looking like a finals MVP and a two-time NBA MVP out there right now. Look, I understand how hard it is to go back-to-back. Toughest thing in the world. I understand that last season was a long slog for Denver. And they are showing some wear and tear across the board. So on some level, it is understandable. And they've run into a team that is young and fresh, young legs, up and down, jumping out of the building. I get all that. Here's what I don't get. Throwing crap on the court during live play. I mean, not even in the stands, but on the floor. I mean, come on. Really? Throwing crap on the floor during live play. Really, fellas? Really, Jamal Murray? Throwing crap on the court while guys are out there, including your own teammates. I mean, what are we doing here? Seriously, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Seriously, Alvin, what are we doing? Like what are we doing? What are we doing?
What am I
throwing
doing
crap on the floor, Jamal?
What are we doing here?
Like, not only, Alvin, I know you were late. There's no need to try to make up for it by playing it 10 times. Not only did Jamal Murray, not only did he throw a towel. Hey, Mystery Mike, you know, you got to be able to do all that, right? You got to be able to fire all those things, Mystery Mike, from your office. Just kidding, Mike, take it easy. Not only, Mr. Mike's in there doing his thing. Not only did Jamal Murray throw a towel on the court from the bench, when that got ignored, he probably thought to himself, ah, that worked. They didn't do a damn thing. I think I'll lob this heating pack on the court too. What are they going to do? Nothing. Somehow that also was ignored. Way to ref show, ref show. Way to have a night, ref show. But regardless of the ref show's bullcrap, man, it's still a terrible look for the Nuggets. And it's worse than just the optics. It's what it is. A total loss of composure. I mean, it's just not the way champions carry themselves. It's just not the way confident teams carry themselves. Like, I've got news for Jamal Murray, too, who I have immense respect for, of course. Of course. Not last night. Not what he did last night. Not for that act. But generally, immense respect for Jamal Murray. But I got news for you, my dude. The ref show did not go 3-for-18, brother. And neither did that heating pack that you took it out on. 3-for-18, my guy. That was all you. And you want to complain about the refs. And you want to throw crap on the court. That's not good. In fact, that's below not good. And that's not even getting into the money sign hand gesture that he caught making towards an official. I mean, dude, really? Like, the ref show is on the take. Is that why you went 3-for-18? Is that why you guys ate curb all night long? Because the ref show was on the take. The reason you guys can't start a game well and can't even hang with the Wolves in your own house is because of the ref show? Yeah, go ahead and miss me with all that crap. And miss Chris Finch with all that crap, too. Absolutely love my dude for calling out that nonsense after the game.
Well, I didn't actually see it happen, but when it was explained to me, you know, the referees didn't see it either, so they're not able to issue a technical unless they see it. We tried to impress upon them that there probably aren't many fans in the building that have a heat pack, so it probably had to come from the bench, which they found logical. But yeah, it's inexcusable and dangerous.
Yo, Chris Finch, my dude. Man, I love both those coaches. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. There probably aren't many fans in the building with a heat pack, so it had to have come from the bench, which is, you know, logical. You're right, dude. And it is dangerous. He said, it's inexcusable and it's dangerous. Believe me, my man, Chris Finch, he would know dangerous. And by the way, can we just stop right here for one moment and give this dude a little respect, a little love, or a lot of love?
For real.
And a lot of much deserved praise. Not only has he done an outrageously good job of coaching this team and building this culture and putting the T-Wolves in a position where it looks like they may be on the brink of not only a finals run, but maybe winning it all. But he's also just days removed from knee surgery, and pretty major knee surgery at that. And this guy's out there in the heat of the battle, coaching and crutching his ass off like nothing even happened. Mad respect, Chris Finch. Mad respect. And that's not just coming from me. It's also clearly coming from his team as well. Just ask Cat, mate.
I mean, it definitely meant a lot, because for someone like me who just came off surgery on my knee and was nowhere near as major as his, I can imagine the doctor told him not to travel and not to fly, and Finchie said, hell no, I'm going to be there for my team. So the leader of our team, you know, when you have someone who's willing to fight like that, you know, of course his troops are willing to fight just as hard for him.
Extremely well said, Cat. In fact, perfectly said, Cat. Perfectly said, mate.
We see Cat, mate.
Perfectly said. You see, right there, that's the vibe with Minnesota right now. They're out here to fight. And if I were the Nuggets, now would be a very good time to actually join that fight. Let the hands go and try to hit back. Because right now, you're getting bullied, beaten down, bloodied, beaten to a pulp. Something I never thought that I would see or say about a Michael Malone coach team. And the Wolves, they're all in.
The Wolves?
They're actually all in. Not that fake-ass Jera version of all in.
That's all in.
The real thing. They're leaving it all on the floor right now. They're playing for each other. They're playing for their coach. Their superstar is going supernova, and he's super unselfish. All these things all apply to Minnesota, and none of these things apply to the defending champs. Not right now, they don't. So that right there is an amazing moment and an amazing morning in Minnesota, and that's why it is big time Carl Lewis time in Denver. Now the defending champs, you've got to win four of the next five.
The Wolves.
And three of them are in the Wolves' house.
The Wolves?
After they just got two ripped from them in their own house. Yes, the Wolves.
The Wolves?
The Wolves. Those are the Wolves.
The Wolves?
Man, they look unstoppable, don't they?
We see Cat, mate.
We see Cat, we see Ant, we see Chris Finch, we see Wolves. We see Wolves, mate.
We see
the Wolves.
I am so pumped to tell you all about Moink. That's Moo, plus Oink. Moink is a meat subscription box company on a mission to fight for the family farm. They are located in rural America, run by an eighth generation female farmer. Their animals are raised humanely, their employees are paid a living wage, and the quality of their product is better than anything you'll find in a store. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better, and the Moink difference is a difference that you can taste. Unlike the supermarket, Moink gives you total control over the quality and source of your food. You choose the meat delivered in every box. Choose between ribeyes to chicken breasts to pork chops to salmon fillets and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. Ring Doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. Keep America farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Rome. Moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do that, get free bacon for a year. Free bacon for a year. That website, once again, is moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do, that's 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but for a limited time. moinkbox.com/Rome. That's moinkbox.com/Rome. He is Frank Isola. Frank, it is great to have you back. How you doing, Frank?
Jim, good. You know what? It's weird. Every time I think of you, for whatever reason, I always think of Shaq, Kobe, and Phil Jackson.
That is funny, right? Why is that?
I don't know. Because, I mean, I used to come on with you a lot. We would talk about that. And then when Phil came to New York, we talk about Phil. Plus, you're like a big shot out there in California, so that has something to do with
it. My man, you're the best, Frank. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. So the T-Wolves, let me start right there. The T-Wolves are still perfect in the playoffs. They ran Denver out of the building last night, Frank, their building. They did so without Rudy Gobert. Obviously, we knew the Wolves were good, but did you expect them to be this dominant right now?
No, you're 100% right. And let's remember, they're 6-0 in the playoffs, and four of those wins have come on the road. And that's Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and now the defending champs with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. And I get it, probably Jamal Murray isn't at his best, but look what they did to Denver last night. They basically broke their will. And it seemed like, you know, Jamal Murray was probably looking to get kicked out of the game. It looked like Michael Malone was looking to get kicked out of the game. To do that to the defending champs, and, you know, Denver's not done yet. And if they were to lose this series, like, their run isn't over. But the game kind of took on the feel of like the last days of some great dynasty. It had that feel to it, like this young upstart team just running the Denver Nuggets off the court.
You know, Frank, I'm with you. Like, because I have such respect for Michael Malone and that team, I'm not going to say they're done, but they do look outclassed. They do look outmatched. Like, what would be their path back into this series? What has to change for them to have any shot at winning four of the next five?
Well, I think Jamal Murray has to play a lot better. Whether or not he's capable of doing that, I'm not so sure, because he seems somewhat limited with that calf injury. You know, going into the season, I thought Denver was certainly good enough to win another championship. But I think when you looked at the roster, and I'm not trying to turn Bruce Brown into Manu Ginobili or Kevin McHale as a sixth man. But, you know, losing him was pretty big. Jeff Green as well. I think they lost some experience off the bench. It's weird. It kind of feels like it's a five-man deep team. And their starting lineup is terrific. But who's going to be that guy that can come off the bench and perhaps provide a spark? I don't know if they have that right now. But it's somewhat surprising to think how good Denver has been all year long. And, you know, their first-round series, obviously against the Lakers, they played very well. Easily could have swept that series. And now here they are, you know, really needing to go on the road, certainly winning one game. But they probably need to win both to really have a legitimate chance of winning this series.
Yeah, I did not see this going the way it is. Frank Isola joining us. So, Frank, where does that leave the T-Wolves? After winning the first two on the road against the defending champs, are they now the ones to beat? And I don't mean just in the West, but I mean maybe overall?
Yeah, I think Boston will still have something to say about that. But I think right now, for me, they look like the team that's going to come out of the Western Conference. And, you know, we talk so much about offense. And, Jim, remember, at the start of the season, everyone was putting up 130 points, 125, and then the league, without sending a memo out to everybody, kind of changed the rules a little bit, and it wasn't that easy to score. So you still win with defense, and the one thing about Chris Finch and that team is that they defend, and they didn't even have Rudy Gobert last night, and that was a big-time defensive performance. So Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, you know, they're underrated players, and not a lot of people know about them, but they're really good, and they're led by a terrific player in Anthony Edwards. You know, Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson have both had breakout seasons and certainly breakout postseasons, and Anthony Edwards has just been at a different level right now.
Ant-Man is absolutely amazing. Frank Isola joining us. All right, since you mentioned Jalen Brunson, Frank, I was going to ask you about him. After so many failed attempts to get that high-profile free agent, Jersey native Jalen Brunson leaned into the challenge of trying to resurrect the team when he signed with them in 2022, the Knicks. How much has he elevated his play this postseason by posting four consecutive games of 40 or more?
Yeah, I'm not so sure anybody expected this. I don't know if his dad expected this, Rick Brunson, or Tom Thibodeau, and Tom's known Jalen for a long time. You know, I covered Rick when he was on the Knicks, and I've remained close to him. So I knew Jalen when he was a kid, and I thought I couldn't believe that the guy lasted until the second round because all he did in college was win. But you know, his scoring has just gone through the roof. And I think if you look at Tom Thibodeau, you know, he had Derrick Rose in Chicago. Tom once won a playoff series, a game seven on the road in Brooklyn, when I believe his starting backcourt was Nate Robinson and DJ Augustine. You know, so Tom has won, you know, the point guard position for him, he has a way of, you know, getting the most out of those players. But Jalen Brunson is so good. There are times when he seems unguardable. If he has you on his hip, you're basically dead meat because he either draws the foul, he makes the shot, or he does both. He makes the shot and draws the foul. And he's the reason that they came back in that fourth quarter. He was outstanding. I get it. There were some calls that went against the Indiana Pacers, the missed call when it was deflected with who was that? When it was deflected with their hand, they called it a kickball. And obviously, I didn't like the foul on Miles Turner, but that was Jalen Brunson bringing the New York Knicks back.
Hey, listen, Frank, I've always been a guy who said scoreboard, scoreboard. I don't want to hear about anything else. Just look up at the scoreboard. But I've got to say, and I'm not saying that Indiana didn't have their chances. They absolutely had their chances. But that call that you just referenced on Turner, man, I hate that call. I hate that call in that situation, in that game, at this juncture of the season. What about you?
Yeah, and I also think, too, you know, in that situation, Stan Van Gundy said it on the telecast when they showed the replay, and this was before it was reviewed by the referees, and they got a chance to look at me, and they thought the foul was fine. But, you know, Dante DiVincenzo was selling it, which is nothing wrong with that. Everybody does that. But he would have had enough time to recover because Indiana, remember, they're down one in that situation. They're going to want to shoot with enough time left on the clock where if they miss, they can get the rebound, or if the Knicks get the rebound, they can immediately foul, and you still kind of give yourself a chance to extend the game. But I think in that situation, come on, it's, you know, to me, let the players decide it on the court. We've seen those kind of screens set before where no foul is called. And I thought that what really seemed like it was going to be an exciting finish. And what's going to happen to the Knicks at some point in this series? They'll have some significant call that goes against them. Just like in game two against Philadelphia, Philadelphia got robbed, but then in game five, the Knicks got robbed. So it has a way of evening out. I get it. But that kind of call, that's not one of those where a guy's shooting and somebody slaps down on his arm and they miss the call. This is happening 40 feet from the basket in a pivotal moment. You hate to see that.
Well said, Frank Isola joining us. So, Frank, let me ask you this. In addition to the playoffs, it's also exit interview season, and your guy Pat Riley put on a show like he always does for the end of the season address. What was your reaction to him saying the Jimmy Butler, quote, should keep your mouth shut, end of quote, as it relates to Boston and New York since he was not on the floor?
Yeah, it's really one of the highlights of the season when the Miami Heat lose and eventually Pat Riley holds his State of the Miami Heat address. If you remember, I think it was the year after LeBron when he was asked about, you know, going into the draft and, you know, knowing kind of what the roster is going to be like. He took a shot at LeBron when he said no more smiling faces with hidden agendas. So Pat Riley usually delivers, and he certainly did yesterday because I think he's probably a little tired of, you know, listen, Jimmy Butler, you know, he shows up on media day and he wears his hair really funky because that's going to be the photo that's used all throughout the season. So I get that part of it. A lot of it is trolling. I think the stuff that he said afterwards was trolling. But it's all fun and games, A, not only when you're winning, but at least when you're playing. So here's a guy who didn't play a second in the playoffs, and he loves to call himself Playoff Jimmy, but we didn't see Playoff Jimmy. In fact, Playoff Jimmy, your team lost in the first round this year, and last year you lost in five games in the NBA Finals. So you're not exactly Playoff Jimmy. So I have a funny feeling this might be it for Jimmy Butler in Miami. And clearly Pat Riley has had it because Pat Riley doesn't want to hear talk. He wants to know that guys are going out there and playing. And that's not to say that Jimmy Butler hasn't been good during his time in Miami, but I think there's a time and place for everything. I think Jimmy Butler, I think he misread the situation when he went off. And I think he was goofing around. I don't think it played, obviously didn't sit right with Pat Riley.
No doubt. And I don't think that's a one-off, and I don't think that's in a vacuum either. I don't think Frank did. Pat would react that way if it was just one thing, right? So let me ask you this. Yeah, go ahead. Finish that thought. Or don't.
I think you're 100% right. I think, you know, this is probably something.
It's been building,
been
right?
Built. Yeah, and Jim, go to basketballreference.com and start looking at the games played for Jimmy Butler during the regular season. So, yeah, Jimmy Butler came through big time in the playoff series. There's no doubt about it. But I think Pat Riley is thinking, let's get a top four seed so we get home court advantage in the first round. In theory, we're getting an easier opponent to play as opposed to having to go on the road last year and, you know, start out with Milwaukee, and they caught a break because Giannis got hurt. This year they had to go up and play, what was it, the 62 or 64 win my Boston Celtics, whatever they were. So the whole thing about playoff Jimmy, that's great. I think Pat Riley's thinking, I need you to be regular season Jimmy. I need you to play 70 games so we get a higher seed and have a better chance to get back to a finals.
Exactly. Frank Isola joins me for another moment. Frank, I would love your thoughts on the Lakers. You mentioned back in the day of the Lakers, but I spoke with ESPN insider Ramona Shelburne yesterday. We talked about the viability of J.J. Redick as a candidate to replace Darvin Ham, given how tight he is with LeBron James. Despite having no coaching experience at all, where do you come out on this? Do you think that J.J. has a legitimate shot at getting that gig?
It sounds like he does, and obviously, you know, on that podcast that he's doing with LeBron, it's almost like it's a tryout. You know, Doc Rivers went right from broadcasting to becoming a coach. The same thing happened with Mark Jackson, where guys didn't have experience as an assistant coach. Remember, I know Steve Nash got a lot of heat, or I should say the Nets got a lot of heat for hiring Steve Nash a few years ago, yet the Nets were, you know, an inch away from Kevin Durant hitting a three and beating the Milwaukee Bucks, the eventual champs, in the second round. And that was the same series with Kyrie and James Harden get hurt. I'm not saying J.J. Redick couldn't do it, but Jim, I'm of the belief at this stage, it sounds like LeBron's going to be back with the Lakers and he wants to be back. Realistically, is it going to be two more years for LeBron? Let him make all the calls then. I mean, you've essentially turned the organization over to him anyway. Let him make all the calls on something like that on a coach. This way during the season, there's not going to be any cryptic tweets or there's not going to be any passive-aggressive comments in the media. Let him have a lot of say in the coach. Let everyone know that this is what LeBron wanted. It came. It's like the Pope is blessing it. Let LeBron bless the hire and then move on. And then you got 2 years to try to make it work. If it doesn't, you start over from scratch. But the Lakers have an advantage over most teams because it's the Lakers, and they seem to be able to recover pretty quickly just because a lot of people want to play for the Lakers. But with 2 years, I'm not saying turn your organization over to somebody when they're 30, because let's face it, Milwaukee's done that with Giannis, and it hasn't really worked out. But you're probably going to get two more years out of LeBron. Let him do whatever he wants. Let him hire the coach and start from there.
And understand, there will be smiling faces with hidden agendas, right? Riley's the best.
Jim, let's be fair. LeBron knows how to work it. He's a lot of things. Dumb is not one of them. He knows how to spin narratives. And, you know, last year when he got swept, he mentioned I might retire, so it took all the focus off of him getting swept, and it was on his retirement. This year, it was keeping everybody guessing on terms of what he might do in the future. He knows how to create. He does own a movie studio. He knows how to create a pretty good story.
Now, he knows how to create a narrative. He's lived this life for a long, long time. Frank Isola, one of the best to ever do it. Frank, you are absolutely awesome. So great to get caught up. I know how busy you are this time of year. Well, always, but especially this time of year. Thanks for making time for the show, Frank. Great to talk to you.
Anytime, Jim. Good talking to you.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. There seems to be a funny fight brewing almost out of nowhere between a couple of icons and a formerly elite player and athlete. And that's pretty much what the fight is about, whether or not this formerly elite and great athlete is still elite and great. Actually, to be fair, it's not really a fight. It's more of a one-sided beatdown. And a couple of jungle legends are letting the hands go versus a once great player and probably an even bigger personality. And that dude, while having plenty fighting for him, really is not fighting for himself or fighting back. The whole thing is so random, but it's so funny to me. So, who are these said jungle legends, and what formerly elite player and athlete are they suggesting is washed and faded and not worth all the run that he continues to get? None other than Rich Ackerman and Ross Bleeping Tucker. Two of my favorite dudes. That's right. And who are they talking about? Odell Beckham Jr. And as many of you know, this whole thing started back on Friday. Last Friday, when Rich Smackerman decided to break some NFL news during one of his updates, drive-by style. Not only was it an incredible update, it actually took over this program. But in case you weren't here for it and you have not heard it, it sounded like this. Again, this is going back to last Friday. Ackerman.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Jim Odell Beckham Jr. is taking whatever is left of his talents to South Beach. Signing.
Well, Jim, Odell Beckham Jr. is taking whatever is left of his talents to South Beach? What an incredible line on so many different levels. I mean, number one, straight fire. Have some, OBJ. But like I said Friday, that's not just OBJ catching a stray. It's him catching a daisy cutter from Ack. Alvin, can I hear that one more time just so the people understand exactly what Ack had for Odell? Ackerman.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Jim Odell Beckham Jr. is taking whatever is left of his talents to South Beach. Signing.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I can listen to that over and over and over again. And I'll take back what I said on Friday. I said that that might be the best update line ever uttered by anybody on any network in the history of radio. I take that back. I lied. That might be the best line ever uttered by anybody in the history of update people anywhere at any time. Sideswiping LeCap, no less. Sideswiping LeCap with really no cap of his own on Beckham. So there you've got Ack, and Ack taking that run at Beckham, where normally Ack does not editorialize, not necessarily, not in the update, but did there. But he was not the only jungle legend to weigh in. A dude who, in full transparency, I consider a good friend and whom I hold in extremely high regard, Ross Tucker, somebody who you've heard on this show a number of times. Ross also jumped in, probably not to have Ack's back, although he may have, but he had similar thoughts about Odell. And he just went further than Ack, who had fired the first shot. Ross had a few thoughts on the signing with Miami, and really, his opinion should not have been that much of a discussion at all. Because the fact is, Odell is not the actual football player that he once was, Ross's point. I would agree with it. But Ross, as always, had the data to back up that argument. Ross said, quote, Odell Beckham Jr. is like a credible case study in the power of getting off to a really fast start or becoming really popular on social media. It is insane that he got $15 million fully guaranteed last year. It's wild that he signed with the Dolphins, and it's still big news that everybody's posting about. When's the last time it actually mattered or meant anything who Odell Beckham Jr. signed with? Tucker later concluded.
And yet people still, Odell Beckham Jr. signed with the Ravens and Lamar last year. Odell Beckham Jr. signed with the Dolphins. Like, when's the last time it's actually mattered or meant anything who Odell Beckham Jr. signed with?
I mean, facts. Facts on facts, no cap. So I'm going to say that's a 10-8 round for Jungle Royalty v. Beckham. A couple of ice jobs of Odell Beckham Jr. and that hype. And the guy does receive an incredible amount of attention for somebody who has battled so many injuries and has not been elite in years. Like, a lot of this guy's persona today is off what he did in a New York Giants uniform. And his best years were his first 3 years in the NFL. And year number three was all the way back in 2016. You know, the same year that Matt Ryan was the NFL MVP. The same year that Jason Garrett was the coach of the year. That's a real thing. That really happened. So, what's happened in the interim? Ultimately, as popular as he was, Odell wore out his welcome in New York, forced his way out of Cleveland, played for the Rams, missed all of 2022 with an injury, and was the third best target in a run-heavy Baltimore offense this past season. And now some are really thinking that Odell is going to make this massive difference on a team that already has Tyreek, Jalen, and several other dudes who could probably join those two in making a world-class 4x100 sprinting team. Yeah, I don't know about that. In fact, I could even argue that he might hurt them more than he helps them if he takes targets away from them. I mean, even his time with the Rams isn't necessarily what it might seem, right? Some of you are trying to make an argument, yeah, well, on the Rams, he helped lead them to a Super Bowl. I don't know. Puka Nacua showed the world what an elite number two receiver can do in Sean McVay's offense. A dude who would deserve the sort of attention that Odell is getting if he were on the market. So sorry, I'm going to side with Jungle Royalty on this one. You come at those dudes, Rich and Ross, you best not miss. And everybody swinging on these two dudes right now are only catching air. And as we know, even that splicer that Odell's dad had back in the day in Cleveland cannot find enough recent highlights of Odell or enough highlights of Odell in non-Giants uniforms to help you win this argument. Don't worry, Smack. Don't worry, Ross. I got your back. Listen, I don't hate the signing. I don't hate it. But I agree with Ross and Rich. This isn't Miami getting this guy, and all of a sudden now they're going to leapfrog Kansas City. This isn't Miami getting this guy, and then they're going to leap over the Ravens. I mean, if he meant that much to the Ravens, wouldn't he still be there? I don't think the Ravens are kicking themselves for losing their guy to the competition. This is not a Super Bowl or bust move for the Dolphins. Like, remember when they hung 70 on the Broncos last season? 7-0 with Odell. Are they going to score 90? You know what that score would be right now? Probably the same 70. Like, it doesn't do more. It doesn't do less, hopefully. Like I said, hopefully he's not taking targets away from others who need them. But what are the Dolphins really getting here? Maybe 35 catches, I don't know, 531 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, fine. Would we be talking about anybody else? This is the point. if they're going to get 35 catches for 531 yards and three touchdowns, would we be talking about anybody else signing anywhere else with those numbers?
What are we talking about?
Of course not. So keep moving. Nothing to see here.
Jim Odell Beckham Jr. is taking whatever is left of his
talents. These two dudes are not hot take artists. There's nothing to see here except a dead body. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? PJ, Denver. PJ, what's up?
Hey, Jimmy, what's up? You know, the worst part about the D-bag move that Jamal threw that onto the court, that was his best shot of the night. That was the only target he hit. And I saw the trickle-down effect coming when Malone went out there and got in the refs' faces. That was kind of the catalyst to seeing all the other Nuggets lose composure. The Wolves are dominating every part of this thing. And I don't even think you mentioned this, but Rudy Gobert wasn't even there last night. And so all the other players on the court turned into giant Rudy Goberts. The Nuggets had nothing, no answer for this team. I don't see an answer for this team coming. And the Wolves look like they are ready and poised to do exactly what the Nuggets did last year. I want to war. Chalk needs to get a little more run on throwing as much heat as he did yesterday from that guy from Orlando who tried to take a run at New York with his simple, dude, you're in Orlando. Peace.
Actually, what he said, Stoner, or PJ, Clearwater, Mike, good to have you. Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Jim? Man, I always knew that Smackerman was a flamethrower for sure, dude. That was awesome. Listen, I was thinking about the Jamal Murray incident. You know, I'm surprised it's not getting a little more run. I mean, just because he didn't hit somebody or somebody didn't slip on that heat pack and, you know, what it was with his own, one of his own, you know, teammates or something, kind of reminds me of that. What was his, the offensive lineman, Orlando Brown, when the ref threw, like, the popcorn, the old-school flags, and he had to have, like, eye surgery. I mean, that guy lost. And then I think Brown pushed the ref down. That was a sticky situation, and I think he was suspended for the rest of the year. My point is, I mean, they're talking one game. He might get suspended for one game. I mean, that might not even be enough. I mean, I know he's a good guy and all, but, you know, that was kind of a D-bag move for sure, man. All right, have a good one. See ya.
You too, Mike. Thank you very much. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let's go to Phoenix. I promised you a phone call only segment. So here is your phone call only segment. Phoenix, Andy. Andy, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Jim, I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much. It was probably your heating pad that was thrown on the basketball court last night. I mean, how cold do they have these arenas where all these guys are playing basketball in long underwear, man? I don't get it. I know they're pads, but they're...
That's not a good color. No. You don't like that color.
Oh, man.
Like that color. Not a very good color.
What, were you waiting for a reaction from me? Were you waiting for me to explode in laughter? Were you waiting to bring down the house with that line? Were you waiting for me to stand up and applaud? Were you waiting for the audience to go, oh, burn? Is this the Andy in Phoenix roast? Dude, who do you think you are? This guy's like, hey, man, I know why they threw a heating pad. They probably had that heating pad because the arenas are so freezing cold. Why do you think the players all have long underwear on, man? And? This is not Evening at the Improv, yo. I'm not going to say, who are you, Jeff Ross, Roastmaster? I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, 2-drink minimum. Don't forget to tip your waitress on the way out. Andy in Phoenix, everybody. Give him a hand. Speaking of the smack off, my man, old school Casey. Casey, what's up, brother?
Yo, what's crack-a-lackin' pimp in the box?
What's up, my dude?
It's all good in my neighborhood, man, but I don't know about the Lakers neighborhood, man. What an absolute disaster. How did we get here, Jim? How did the greatest franchise in the history of the NBA that's been in the finals 32 times and won 17 championships, I never thought in my lifetime they would become the Clippers. And the problem, dude, is not the players. This management and ownership, and then our Jeannie Buss is the greatest person. We love Jeannie Buss, but she's a bad CEO. They are like the Titanic, and they keep throwing coaches overboard to try and save themselves. Since 2011, since Phillip left, they have had Mike D'Antoni, Mike Brown, Byron Scott, Luke Walton. We've had, of course, the Ham, and now we're going to have another coach. Seven coaches. Who do they think they are? The Las Vegas Raiders? They're the Lakers. And Rob Lowe Pelinka has no idea how to build a basketball team. No idea what he's doing. See, what happened when they won in 2020, that was fool's gold. The whole world stopped for 5 months. The Lakers had the oldest team in the league, and they were able to win a championship because they were the last team standing. And La GM should have got that Executive of the Year award, not Rob Lowe. You know, Dion Waiters and J.R. Swish were on that team. Why? Because La GM said so. Since 2011, when Dr. Buss passed away, they have the fifth worst record in the association, even with that championship and with La GM. So now they're at the point where they got to make a decision. You aren't going to win with him. And you're not going to win without him anyway. If they break dude off another extension, that would be basketball suicide. Because they got more holes in a dribble glass. Look, here's what they need to do. You hire Steve Nash. He fits the profile. Star player, Hall of Famer. Will get respect from LeBron. Will make that offense run better. They just have to get better defensively. Jeannie and Rob Lowe have the wrong expectation of this team. This is not a championship caliber team. Stop it. Dude, I've been a Laker fan since 1970. I have seen every one of their championships. They are so far away from that, they need a GPS navigation system to find their way back. So don't try and trick us anymore. Don't try and fool us anymore. Cop to it. They do not know how to run a basketball team anymore, and the only thing that's going to change this is if this team gets sold. I know it sounds radical, and nobody else wants to say this about the owner, but she is in quicksand, and she is drowning fast. And the only way she's going to get saved is somebody throws that lifeline in and pulls her out. And they got to pull them out now. And hiring LeBron again is not the answer. LeBron can take his contract and the rest of his career, and he can walk. I am done with LaGM, and I'm out.
Brandon in Jersey. What's up, Brandon? How are you?
What's up, Monolith?
What's up, dude?
Dude, isn't seeing Odell in an ad for Moonpaste like seeing Jeets in an ad for monthly gift bag subscriptions? Tell us the rumors are true without telling us the rumors are true. There were two rules at that Brady race, at that Brady roast, Jim. The first rule we found out about, no massage jokes, that was Bob's rule. And he was in an unusually good mood, wasn't he? The second rule, though, we didn't hear about. That was Tommy's rule. The second rule was you can't say that Tom French's his kid more passionately than Caleb French's his hand before it goes down on him. It's been a rough stretch.
That's not a good call. Dude.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Do I really have to, Brandon? I appreciate it, kind of, sort of, until then. Do I have to outlaw or put a moratorium on self-love or one-handed love or Frenching your hand before you go down on yourself?
Good night, no!